Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Hello and welcome to the Irish Pagan School YouTube channel. It's myself, Laura O'Brien, and I'm here for part two with Tara Tyne. We did an interview that introduced you to our lovely teacher at the Irish Pagan School, who is also coming to us from a little segue from her own YouTube channel, which is The Diary of a Ditch Witch. Absolutely fascinating. Go and subscribe if you're not already. But we're going to talk about herbalism, herb magic, and Irish paganism specifically today. Now, we've gone into, in part one, we've gone into all about Tara's journey as a ditch witch and how she ended up with that particular title and, you know, where we're coming from with our ethics and our ethos and all that with our own particular brands of Irish witchcraft. But today we're going to look specifically at the herbalism and herb magic that we teach through the Irish Pagan School in Tara's classes. So, Tara, I know that we don't really focus on herbalism as in the medical side of things and, you know, all that. So, like, where are you coming from with your herbal practice?
I suppose it's, for me, it's when I started really looking back through, you know, the mythology of Ireland and things like that, and realizing that I am not the only person throughout the course of Ireland's history and mythology to have worked with herbs, to have been interested in herbs. It's not a massive, massive part of the magical tradition here, but it's quite an important one. For instance, you look at the Battle of Moytura. You've got healing wells that were bringing dead soldiers back to life. And all, I mean, there had been spells sung over the well, but to me, the most important thing about the well was that every healing, every herb grown in Ireland, every wildflower, every lust or love was put into this well. And it was sung over by Dian Kecht and his three children. It was of such magical power that it could actually resurrect people from the dead. You've also got there when Dian Kecht kills his son, and then Eärmid comes in and gathers the herbs which grow from the son's grave. And she lays them all out on her mantle. And I think it's in some tellings, then the version goes that it's basically sort of the prophecy that none in Ireland shall know the uses of all those herbs unless the Holy Spirit is with them. So then you get your kind of your little tip off that, oh, yes, these tales were being written down by medieval monks. So we look at it through that lens. Too, it was obviously come to the Christian God and you learn all about the magic herbs. But you know, I decided to test that theory for myself, and certainly I don't know them all yet, but I'm doing my best to work my way there. And it's everywhere, you know, that's back in medieval times we're looking at there. But you still there's still a very much living tradition of picking certain flowers, and in some places they're very particular flowers that you pick. The Mayflower, the marshmallow is often the flower that's used. Sometimes it's just yellow flowers, sometimes the colour doesn't matter. But you would pick these and you'd put them, you know, on your roof or in the rafters or over the door or at the windows to protect a balcony against the fairies. That's very clear, very concise, very concrete piece of protection you can do for yourself. And as you can see here in the background, I have my Bridget's cross as well. So going out and collecting the rushes is also something that is quite important to me. And I do believe that this cross protects me, you know. And it's the fact that these are unbroken traditions going back so far as well. You know, I believe that the more a thing is practiced, also the more power it has.
Absolutely, yeah.
As we mentioned before, Laura, it's a very exciting time to be alive and to see young people now starting to take up these practices as well. For me, actually, you know, as somebody who lives in Ireland, but also for the people out there who feel so strongly connected to their Irish heritage. It's vital that the young people start learning these, you know, practicing mm-hmm. and learning, taking on these traditions too, so that they don't die out, because mm-hmm. we've been so close to that in the past. And especially with the herbal stuff, like there's a very rich cache of information on the Dukas School's collection about how to use herbs for medicine. And that's fair enough. We can clearly trace that back to the times when people couldn't afford doctors, you know, when mm-hmm. you had to after your own healthcare, and that's fair enough. But you've still got so much in there for protection. Like if you go look and say, for example, I do a bit in one of the courses about amulets, magical amulets. So these could be used for protection to wear on your person.
Mm-hmm.
Or to, you know, you might also use an amulet to put under your pillow to bring on a certain kind of dream, perhaps about who you were going to marry or some other kind of prophetic dream. But you'll never, ever, ever see the word amulet used in the school's collection. So it's only through really sort of starting to engage with the culture that, you know, you get in there. What they'll say instead in Dukas is, well, you take this certain wildflower and you pin it in your buttonhole, or you, in some cases, you put it in a sock and put it under your pillow. I don't know where the sock came from. Maybe it was just a handy pouch like piece of fabric. I really don't know. Or maybe it was the fact that, you know, maybe your sock carries a bit of your energy too. You know, I have seen people putting onions at their feet and all kinds of things to draw out sickness. So maybe there was something to the sock. I don't really know. But it's littered right throughout the Dukas School's collection. But it's a matter of actually getting in there and finding it.
Absolutely. And it's what to look for as much as, you know, what you're going to find and how to look for it, you know.
Big, big part of it, you know. And I find that the deeper I wade into it, the more rabbit holes there are to go down. Like I discovered that you get much better success if you pick a particular species and put that into a search on Dukas, and you know, you go and find all the things that plant was used for. And that's fine, but are you going to do that for all the hundreds and thousands of native species that you might have growing around you? It's very difficult. So I've done my best to start with that. But then even something as, I mean, you know, the way one of the names for Ireland is Roisin Dubh, so black rose. And you would think that roses would show up more frequently being mentioned. I went to see where they're being used for magical purposes, and I actually found it hard to even find instances of them being used for medical purposes. There's a part of me thinks I just haven't found the right term for them yet.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's something else. And I've searched for everything, every rose-connected word I could possibly think of. But that's not to say that there wasn't some kind of an Irish term being used. And maybe it's got a particular spelling on it that I just haven't come across yet, you know. So then there is an element of actually getting out and talking to older people as well, because sometimes they'll be able to point you in a direction that you're not going to get on the internet, that you're probably not going to get in a book either.
Absolutely.
Getting stuck in involved with it too, you know, especially when it comes to the magic stuff. You'll find out what works best for yourself, and what works best for, you know, the kind of energy that you're working with as well, as you go, as you get to know more about different
absolutely things. And we will link to, we're talking about Dukas, that's Duchas, it's Dukas.ie. And this is the repository, the digital repository or the online home of a lot of, now it's not all by any means, but a lot of our folklore in Ireland has been digitized in relatively recent years. When I started working, you were in the library with the microfiche. Click, click, click.
Yeah, those were the days.
But thankfully we don't have to do that now. And anybody, I mean, you could go yourself to Dukas. Like I said, we'll put the links below, but you can go Duchas.ie, go into the school's collection, read around the website. It's a fascinating website. And you can use the search engine there. And giving you homework now. Nobody was expecting homework when they logged into this video.
You got it anyway.
Here you go. And why don't you start with something like hawthorn? You know, now you'll see hawthorn, as Tara said, under different names. It's the Mayflower or maybe the Maybush or something like that. But you could just start with hawthorn and see what comes up. And all the different, from medical, from heart to, you know, to all the magical and otherworld connections that it has, you know. And even when you get into the Om now, you probably won't find the Om on Dukas. Well, you will, actually. There is Om on Dukas because I did my thesis on the impact of the Om in the folklore collection, was a part of it. But hawthorn is associated with Huath, which is like horror and terror and all this. So there's layers and layers and layers just from this one single plant, you know.
Yes.
And obviously it features strongly in ditches, Tara, and hedgerows. So
it's one of the main sort of structural species that was used if you want to create a hedgerow. That's like the top recommendation in most places. And also it's important for the bees. Mm. It's very important for all pollinating creatures. So as much hawthorn as you can get is brilliant, but also then you have to completely avoid it once you've planted it. Do you know what, like, I mean, I'm in foraging groups with people from the UK and the like, and they'll be putting up lovely, delicious things that they're doing with our haws and our hawthorn leaves and all sorts of things. And I'll tell you, I just haven't been that brave yet, because in Ireland, that's a whole other kettle of fish, you know. And I'm just not sure that I want to be bringing any part of the haw plant into my house yet. I feel like I haven't done enough research, but I'm on it. I will get back to you. Because apparently haws make a delicious ketchup that tastes like barbecue sauce. Now, I haven't.
So I've heard. So I've heard, yes.
Yeah.
But again, you know, like the spiritual and magical and energetic connotations to the hawthorn here in Ireland are so strong and so intense. You know, our main, what we call it, like a fairy tree or a fairy bush, would be the hawthorn, the single hawthorn growing in a field. And that's supposed to be the home of the fairies. We get them growing on the mounds and the ancient archaeological sites. They're very, very common there. And again, you wouldn't be touching any of them from any of those locations. So foraging takes on a whole new danger level when you're dealing with all of that in Ireland.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Like, it's actually the easiest way to spot a ring fort, that there's a very high probability that it's ringed in hawthorn.
Yes, absolutely.
And it will be completely untouched in the centre of a field. As it should be.
Yes. So that's why when we're dealing with, like, herbalism is such a broad topic, but when we're dealing with herbalism specifically within the living traditions of Ireland, that's why we wanted to bring Tara in to the Irish Pagan School to give this perspective. You know, anybody can look at a book on herbalism, but what you're getting in Tara's classes and Tara's teaching and on Tara's YouTube channel as well, not just through the Irish Pagan School, what you're getting is that genuine access to those lived experiences of, you know, this intersection of both the academic. Now, I know you're very strong on the academic learning, Tara, now, especially more recently. And getting into the Brehon Law system and, you know, all sorts of other things, where there's this intersection going on then of obviously the medical herbalism as well. Like, you don't want to be going poisoning anybody, right? That's important too. But also then, the foraging, the local ecosystems and sustainable foraging, which is very relevant to Ireland, but obviously has global implications as well. So, like, do you want to talk a little bit about the importance of understanding local ecosystems for, like, a sustainable foraging experience or a sustainable kind of journey into herbalism and herb magic? Hello, this is Laura O'Ryan, and I want to make sure that you get access to our free gift for you, which is the Roots and Reverence Ancestral Connection Toolkit.
So this is a 5-day guided exploration, which will be delivered to you free over email series. And it's as enlightening as it is grounding. It's designed for anyone who feels a kinship with Irish paganism, whether you carry Ireland in your blood, your heart, or the soul memories of lifetime past. There is no cost, only the promise of authentic connection to Ireland, as ever from us. So go to irishpagan.school/roots, that's R-O-O-T-S, to get your ancestral connection toolkit. And again, it's all free, delivered free over 5 days. There's resources, there's exercises, there's connection, there's all sorts of cool stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. It is our free gift to you for being a valued podcast member. So back to the episode.
Yeah, well, I suppose the first thing, and I'm kind of up against it now, even myself at the minute, is when you're going out looking for, like, for example, I would do, for my own pleasure, I do a bit of mushroom foraging. And the first thing you'll find if you go to go looking for mushrooms in Ireland, in forests in particular, forest fungi, is that we are an increasing monoculture when it comes to our forests. The state body, Caolte, has been, I mean, I don't want to go so far as to say they've been lifting native forests, but they certainly have been planting non-native forests for profit all over the country. And that essentially, what they're planting are a lot of Sitka spruce, certain kinds of pine, that sort of thing, that is putting a lot of acid into the ground. That's serious effect on the pH. So what you're doing by planting that is wiping out a lot of the native species. You're also going to find that you'll only find certain species of mushrooms. Those forests are pretty good for foraging mushrooms, but you'll find no useful herbs in there. It's ferns. Occasionally, you might be lucky enough to come across some of the acid-loving berries. Bilberries love an acidy soil, if I'm not wrong. But it's like we're still, like, as far as I know, we're still actively destroying our own ecosystems and habitats here. So obviously, you know, no one person really can change that. As I say, you can write a letter, you can, you know, ask around in your community, is there a group that can be joined or petition can be signed or anything like that, if it's something that you feel strongly about. But on a personal level, I'm kind of working myself at the minute with getting into harmony with the environment that you do actually live in. So a lot of people are still, you know, they have a little garden maybe to themselves if they're lucky, and are still kind of planting things without really thinking about what they're planting. So the other biggest threat to that I see on ground level, especially in this part of the country now, Leitrim, that I'm fairly new to, is that rhododendron, you know, was initially introduced as an ornamental, I would presume, in Victorian times.
Yeah, it came in with the English landlords and the plantation.
And is actually now completely swallowing entire ecosystems. It's getting to a ridiculous point. And it hasn't been, I mean, there are some surprising species of herbs and plants banned. Native herbs banned in Ireland, which I do talk about, I think, in my introduction class. But rhododendron, so far, there haven't been any, that I know of, any findings.
Restrictions, anything put onto it. No, it's ridiculous.
Anything put onto it at all. So you've got people, you know, people are watching out for the likes of the giant hogweed and other invasive species like that. But it's just, you know, please don't go to a gardening centre and plant rhododendron in your garden, because it will spread to any natural areas around you. And, you know, a lot of plants can spread quite far too. It's not just your garden you have to think about. So I suppose, you know, that is definitely something for people to consider, is being in trying to be as much in harmony as they possibly can with native environment, and just watching the species that you're bringing in, and getting to know the ones you have and getting to appreciate the ones you have. You know, I know what it's like to live in environments where it's not necessarily very biodiverse. But I mean, to me, that, you know, it also just makes it easier to learn everything that grows.
Absolutely. And Tara, like, as you're talking there, so this is a parallel that I've kind of used before with regard to non-native traditions and interpretations of Irish culture, you know, being planted in here, and traditions from outside of Ireland being planted in here and then taken over and subsuming the native traditions, you know, as they are, and the healthy balance of the traditions that we have here in Ireland. And like, not to flog a dead horse, but like, that's really what we've been trying to do with the Irish Pagan School, is to try and kind of create this little sanctuary where the native, whatever's native, can actually, you know, all the different teachers coming in, and they're like the little seeds that are being planted in the garden, you know. Like, I love that parallel, and I love that, you know, that we're able to kind of, you know, it's the microcosm and the macrocosm side of things. But also then, you know, I think that there's a lesson here for people who are outside of Ireland who are so interested in Irish traditions and all the rest of it, like, to make sure that if you're going to be working with or dealing with or even planting in some cases native Irish species, make sure that they're not going to do the same thing in your own native environment.
Your country, you know? Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something for everyone to bear in mind. You know, if you're buying plant species, don't be afraid to ask, you know, where was it bought in from? Was it bought in, or is it produced here in this country? Because you've also got air miles to consider as well, if you want to get to that. But absolutely, no matter where you are in the world, is to consider what it is that you're buying. And, you know, it is lovely if you're in other countries to buy an Irish species and to work with that as a way of working with your own heritage or your own practice. But yeah, make sure it's not going to take over the world when it gets there. You know, I mean, very bad hospitality on the part of Ireland and their species now.
And I think, I mean, a good example of that would be, like, we have a specific ivy species here in Ireland that's even different from, you know, Hedera helix, which would be the English version. I think it's Hedera hibernica or something it's called, isn't it? So it's, we have a couple of species here that are specific because we're an island community, that they have developed native versions of them. And I know something like the cornflower would be another one, you know, where the Irish cornflower would be different from even the British one, you know. And what's happening is, like, even with the best will in the world, what's happening here is people are buying, say, seed bombs and all that, and help the pollinators and plant the wildflowers and the wildflower meadows and the wildflower gardens. But they're buying seeds, say, that would be the British or the European versions of these wildflowers that are being classed as native because they're still a cornflower, say. So, and we do have cornflowers here. But that's actually introducing then a danger to our own native cornflower, you know, as well. And then if you take the ivy, which would be very strong in the Irish traditions, that would definitely be an invasive species in North America, you know. So you do.
Honeysuckle as well. It's invasive in North America.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that one up. That's a great one. And actually, I am planning on a video. I'm working on the behind the scenes of making a video of creating Irish native wildflower seed bombs. I'm currently harvesting and processing the seeds in order to do that. So for people who do have any kind of access to the Irish countryside at all, to learn how to, you know, ethically sort of collect the seeds, the right sort of times of year for doing this sort of thing, how to actually make the seed bomb and the kinds of places that are good to spread them, you know, and any trick considerations that need to be you know, remembered during that process. So yeah, do watch out for that on a Diary of a Ditch Witch YouTube channel at some point. I will.
Brilliant.
I keep thinking This week, but no, it'll be
no,
a few weeks.
Looking forward to it, Tara. Looking for your stuff is amazing. And, you know, even just following your journey of like moving to Leitrim, that's going to be very interesting to a lot of people, you know. And even if it's people who are living vicariously who will never get to move to Ireland, I know
a lot of
our viewers are there for that.
Watch me do the hard work so you don't have to. And don't, if you are new visitor to my YouTube channel, please don't be put off by any renovation content that you come across. That's just the way life took us the last year. I've had to do a little bit more with the stuff, but
it's all part of it.
I have Irish history and folklore, and then I have another one about Native Irish Arabs. So for anyone who does want to learn a little bit more, you know, of the stuff I myself have also put out there for free, it's all up there on my YouTube channel. Do go and check it out.
We highly encourage. I think we've been recommending you since you first came on YouTube.
Yeah, you have indeed. And thank you very much for the support. Everyone at the Irish Pagan School has been
brilliant
that way, yeah.
This is all part of, you know, of our mission, which is, you know, this community education. We're here to be sharing knowledge. Like, and for all of us, like, you know, to do this full time, obviously we need to earn some money, right? So we teach, if you're going to be selling products or doing tours or any of that in the future, you know. And obviously we have our books and stuff as well. We even have our, you know, our Elanotter, our merch that we do, you know. And it's all to make sure that we can keep making this community service education content, really, because that's what we're all about, you know. The vast majority of what any of us do, whether it's yourself, us, the Crafty Cailleach, you know, Hog and Dice, any of the Native Irish creators that we do recommend, the vast majority of it is this community education. You know, we want to share our knowledge and we want people to be able to connect in authentically. Like our tagline, but actually it's our mission statement, it's my life's work, is authentic connection to Ireland, you know. So I'm delighted to be able to talk to you, Tara, to cross platform, to cross promote. And like, how would you recommend that people who are interested in all of this would, you know, would bring that in then to their own communities, you know, without cultural appropriation, without anything like that, you know? Like, what would you see as the value of like bringing herb magic, or how could people kind of use what they're learning from us to make their own community and their own environments better? Big question. Okay,
well, one of the biggest things, and I know this has been mentioned quite a bit at Irish Pagan School, and it's not necessarily so much got to do with Irish practice, but for anyone who is still using sage or Palo Santo, those ecosystems are being absolutely destroyed, and there is magic connected with those species too that we haven't worked with. We haven't kind of put the time into it. Now, it's not to go around gatekeeping everyone who uses it, because you don't necessarily know what somebody's background is. But you know, when you do spot that kind of thing going, to not be afraid to mention it, because. You know, how many smudge sticks or Palo Santo sticks is somebody going to buy in a lifetime, and then you're buying them for friends, and, you know, maybe they know the person who owns the shop. And sometimes people just aren't aware of this. Mm. And by informing them, you know, you can actually bring about quite big change. But, you know, it's the same principle. It's that if with Irish magic, if you see friends or people you don't know, but they're maybe in your part of the woods, spreading disinformation, you know, that really is one of the harmful things to the, you know, the whole practice of trying to decolonize our own practice and to share that with people. Literally just to do those two things is made so much harder by the absolute tsunamis of misinformation that are out there, and people who are prepared to shout very loudly that misinformation. And so then you also find yourself with the job of having to shout over them. So I mean, when it comes to, you know, I don't want to go calling out too many names, but you know, I would say, okay, so say for example, people who work with essential oils, do your research, find out where the species that are being made into essential oils are being made, where they're being grown, where they're being harvested. Are they being ethically sourced? Is this oil that you have bought what it purports to be? You know, and there are tips online for how to spot things like that, but I would apply that to, you know, right across the board. So
absolutely,
if you've got friends who are buying books about Irish magic and that kind of thing, you know, help them find the resources section on the Irish Pagan School website or in the groups that is good recommended information. Because I suppose the biggest job that most of us have as teachers, and as you say, Laura, you're not guaranteed an income out of this. You do the work and you hope that you make enough money to survive out of it. What we really don't need an awful lot of it is just people shouting over us and so they haven't put the work in. They haven't necessarily maybe lived here or studied with authentic Irish teachers. And it's very easy to, you know, make up a course of something that you think is right and you saw it in a book once. And people are going and making an absolute fortune off this. Whereas, you know, we can't necessarily spend all our time promoting and doing all these big things because we're actually knuckling down and doing the work. We're spending a considerable amount of time actually doing the research. And I think, you know, with all teachers at the Irish Pagan School, that speaks for itself. But you do still then, you know, there's always going to be people coming in and taking the work that has been done by others or not even bothering to look at the work that has been done by others and just appropriating that.
Just making shit up, Tara. Just making shit up.
There's so many people just making shit up. And I'm like, God, like the balls it takes to do that. Like,
I know.
I know. I can't imagine. And here's me with imposter syndrome.
Oh, for the confidence of a middle-aged white man who, you know, decides he's a Celtic shaman.
Yes.
So Tara, the message I'm getting here is don't be rhododendrons. Don't buy from rhododendrons. Nobody wants the rhododendrons, right?
Keep them out because they are
talking over us. They are giving you stuff that, you know, they're creating monocultures and none of it's authentic and none of it's real and none of it's right. And ultimately, you're poisoning yourself.
When it comes to trying to get rid of the rhododendron and the giant hogweed or whatever it is, please do it properly. Please also stop using any version of that. Okay. The most recent video I saw about it that was very concise and explained a lot about the history of Roundup and its connections with the Agent Orange that was used during the Vietnam War. It's lethal stuff and it is destroying habitats. And most recent concise video I've seen going into great detail about Monsanto and where all that stuff comes was actually from Bailey Sarri and True Crime and Makeup. There are videos out there which will explain the history of Monsanto to you and explain a little bit about the kinds of ingredients that they have no problem using and all the sorts of problems that that creates. Then you have to buy the special seeds that withstand the weed killer.
Absolutely.
And I mean, what can you do is doing to our bodies and to our environments? Take that right across the board. Stay away from the rhododendron, stay away from the Roundup.
Absolutely.
I feel a song coming
on. the Roundup, the weed killer, and the rhododendrons would have all been highly illegal in the Brehon law system. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. You would have lost all your cows for that kind of crack.
So what I'm going to do is just share how people can actually find you on the Irish Pagan School. So when you go to irishpaganschool.com, that's where all of our classes are. And you'll see the homepage there that has a bit about us, some featured courses. You can click to view all products, or you can go up here to all courses, which is along the top. So we'll view all products and we will get to Tara Tyne's amazing classes on herb magic. Now you can see the first one is up here, but the order of these changes. So the best thing to do is go to the author drop down menu. See all of our lovely authors here, but we click on Tara's name. Currently, you have two classes at the Irish Pagan School. So we have Herb Magic in Ireland, an introduction, and Herb Magic at Samhain. So Samhain is one of our fire festivals. So you can see that the herb magic and the teaching that we're providing here through Tara Tyne and her her wealth of knowledge across a range of different areas is very much connected into the living traditions of Ireland. And that's what we're always trying to do here, trying to give you that authentic connection to Ireland, which is our mission statement after all. So, and absolutely check out Tara's. We're going to link to all of this below the video, below the podcast, wherever you're watching or listening to this. But Tara, thank you so much for your time. And I do encourage people to check out Tara's YouTube channel as well, Diary of a Ditch Witch. Subscribe there, subscribe here, and you're doing your part to support native Irish creators and down with rhododendrons. So
yeah. T-shirts. Thank you so much, Laura,
for having me. You're welcome, Tara. And I'm sure we'll have you back on, and make sure that people are commenting below and let us know if you want yet another crossover with Tara Tyne the Ditch Witch. Comment below. Thank you so much. Slán. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com. and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Slán go fóill, and we will see you next time.